The Business on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. It takes a certain kind of brave to run a business. We see it, we back it.
So while Tim is responsible for persuading people to get up and out, our next guest is responsible for setting pulses racing with lines like this. His deep-set eyes were dark, but not brown, golden. His skin was dark too. There was stubble on his jaw. The sheer height, width and breadth of him was heat-inducingly powerful. Daisy Cummins, who writes under the name Abby Green, has just published her 50th Mills and Boone book. She writes between 3 and 4 a year. Now, first, Daisy, you're very welcome to the programme. Should I call you Daisy or Abby?
Daisy. I mean, I go by Daisy Cummins. And then if I'm in a situation where I'm, say, at a conference or something, I'll just go by Abby Green because it's easier. But if anybody calls me Abby, it feels a bit strange.
Yeah, if you were Abby Green speaking at a conference, would you take questions as Abby?
Yes. Yeah. But then people address me as Daisy on social media if they know me. So, but that's fine. Like, it's not like I'm trying to hide my real identity or anything.
Yeah. So what's the difference between Abby and Daisy and their personalities? Well,
Abby can get a bit angry. No, there's no difference. There's no distinction at all, really.
Now, when it comes to Mills and Boone, how did you get into that?
Well, it was kind of very circuitous. I was working in the film industry and I wanted to, for a few years, I wanted to kind of get out and do something else. And I thought I was going to try and write a script. And that didn't work out, or I didn't really follow that path. And then I had lived with a girl for years, and we both read Mills and Boone. We were big Mills and Boone fans. And she had tried to write a Mills and Boone. And she told me that you can submit to them without needing an agent. So that kind of put a seed in my head, because I'd read hundreds of them, thousands of them.
Now, of course, in reading hundreds of thousands, you kind of know what works. You know that there is a formula and you know what the formula is. But sitting down to write it is a different proposition.
Yeah, very different. And I was kind of just experimenting. I was, you know, still working in film, trying to get out of that and just sitting down experimenting. And then eventually I wrote enough to send something into them. And I got word back pretty quickly, like within a month, to say that it wasn't what they were looking for, but that I had a good style and if I wanted to send something else. And I kind of knew enough to know that that was a really good sign. So then I just kept going. And then within a year, I got published. So.
And would you remember much about what the plot and what was in the first one?
Oh,
or
yeah.
Do they all get a bit hazy after a while?
Yeah, I mean, they do. I mean, yeah, I mean, if I tried to think about the last one I've just written and try and remember the names, I probably couldn't. But I can remember the first one, yeah.
Can you make a good living? Does it pay well?
Yeah, well, the thing is, it's not... Like I was saying to somebody the other day, you know, you either have Cecilia Ahern levels and Marion Keyes levels of money and fame and all of that. And then most writers, they earn about 10,000 a year, I think, or 12,000 a year is what the Society of Authors came out with recently. And then so there's very few that are actually kind of in the middle, you know, who can actually earn a living and kind of pay the mortgage. And that's where I am. So, yeah, it's great. I mean, it's not flying high, but it's enough to kind of turn down other work and not have to, like, I could leave the film industry and do this full time now.
Do you have a bit of fun writing it? I was going to say, do you have a bit of fun doing the research?
Yeah.
But separately to that, can you have a bit of crack writing it?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, as day jobs go, it's a nice job to have. And certainly when the writing's flowing really well and you feel like you're kind of in it and it's all going well, then it's brilliant. But most days you're really struggling to get 500 words out and you kind of get to the middle of the book. Like, I'm at that stage now with my book and it just feels like it's going nowhere and it's really boring and I've done this a million times before and that always happens. So, but I wouldn't swap it for the world.
Is there a particular plot or character or book that you would like to write as a Mills and Boone?
Yeah, well, I don't know what this says about me, but I always loved the really dark, twisted ones where there was blackmail or revenge. Because they were just really, really dark and quite angsty and dramatic. So I quite liked them. And that they would be, you know, you have the really classic Mills and Boone, which kind of would have started in the, would have kind of grown in the 70s and 80s of the heroine going on holiday to Greece. And so essentially it was kind of like a holiday romance.
Would you set them all in Ireland?
No, I mean,
in Ireland?
Some have been set here and then anywhere really. Like they want to encourage us to kind of open it up and set them in more places now because they get translated into, I think it's 30 something languages all in all. You know, so they're such a global enterprise. And that's one of the reasons why you can make a living out of it. Because once, like, my first book has been translated into, I don't know how many different languages, and it's still being translated and sent out there. You know.
And what kind of latitude do you have with Mills and Boon? I mean, there
Anything.
Are certain, I mean, if you write one that's completely different, they can say, oh no, hold on, we have a way of doing it. This isn't fit.
I can basically come up with anything. I mean, once it's within the parameters, I'm obviously not going to say to my editor, oh, I have a great idea for a vampire novel, or I'm going to put a bit of crime in this, because that's not what these books are. But once I stay kind of within the parameters, I can do anything. Like, they're open to that, and they're open to you. I mean, I've had a heroine in a book who had problems having children. She couldn't have children. I had an amputee heroine. So you are getting into subjects that are deeper.
Now, they're inevitably associated with escapism.
Yeah.
They've also been criticized for being misogynistic. The woman is often not the person in a position of power. The man is tall, dark and handsome instead of being short and chubby.
Yeah. No, well, that's the fantasy aspect of it. You know, I mean, certainly the books that I write are, they're the modern line, and it's very high fantasy, high stakes drama, escapism, and they feature the really tall, dark, handsome hero. The women definitely have moved on. Like, Mills and Boon have always been really good at following, like, society. So, you know, over the years, they've definitely mirrored what's going on in society. And now you have heroines who absolutely have their own agency, and they're running businesses, and they don't need a man at all. But what happens is they obviously come together, and they fall in love, and it enhances their life. It doesn't actually, you know, they don't need love or a man, but what happens is they get together and then
why not
exactly. And it's part of the escapist fantasy that I think most women want to pick up a book and read about a 6'4" tall dark hero, you know, rather than 5'2".
So the 5'2" with a bit of a beer belly, it wouldn't work is what you're saying anyway?
Not for the books that I write, but the thing about the romance genre is it's so huge that there are books out there featuring those heroes for women that want to read about those heroes. So they exist.
Now, sometimes the hero guy, the tall, dark, handsome guy, is, you know, rich, super rich, sort of billionaire.
Yeah.
When you write about someone like that, how do you picture a real billionaire, somebody on the television, Elon Musk or?
Not really, because most of them seem to be not really hero worthy. So you're really kind of stretching to make it into a fantasy at that stage, because I don't think they really exist.
A sort of
in
a
real life
James Bond, but with lots of money instead of spying.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
And it was interesting. You said there that the genre, to some extent, has changed around the women and the roles that women have in the books and so forth. But they still want the romance bit anyway, because it is about it's a form of escapism. But have you been criticized at all? Or have you ever got any flack for writing Mills and Boon, for writing stuff that people say isn't portraying women in the best light?
No, I mean, there is that out there, but not really, because and usually that criticism tends to come from women, which is kind of interesting. First of all, I don't agree with policing what women read or what women enjoy, because everybody, you can choose what you want to read. These books are relationship books, so they're basically, you can have the trappings of the gorgeous guy and the gorgeous heroine and the million-dollar lifestyle. But that's just a kind of an extra. But essentially, they're really just about relationships. At their core, that's what they are.
What about the racy bits?
The racy bits, yeah. I do racy bits in my books, but you don't have to have racy bits. There are books that shut the bedroom door and then books that open the bedroom door. Literally, it's like if the reader wants something that's a bit kind of cozier and sweeter, they can choose those books or they can choose my book.
What about romance, a question I have to ask. You're writing about romance and relationships in 50 novels. Are you a romantic person?
I don't think I am, really. Like, I wouldn't be that kind of flowery, you know, kind of soppy. I think I'd be quite pragmatic.
That probably helps in writing. It gives you bit of distance from,
like, the books are romance and they're about they're not generally full of big romantic gestures. They're more, especially the ones that I write, like, they're really intense, emotional, life or death type, you know, this is it, relationships. So they're quite angsty, English patient style passion and drama. You know, that film with Kristen Scott Thomas and then
he disappears and is gone. It looks like he's lost. And that's the other thing. Does the hero always, is there always a happy ending?
Yeah, there's always a happy ending. And that is the tenet of the romance genre. So you have a happy ever after ending. And that's what the readers want. And if you don't deliver that, it's like doing a crime novel and not finding out who the killer is.
So in Out of Africa, Robert Redford would have miraculously survived the airplane crash
or
whatever.
Yeah, yeah. It would have just disappeared and then come up again over the next hill.
Well, Daisy Cummins, a.k.a. Abby Green, Mills and Boone novelist, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.
Thanks for having me.